Blog Talk Radio.
You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
No, it's Max, Darryl, and D-Bert, your host for the Comic Shop Show.
Taking that red pill, folks. Taking that red pill, folks. Again, welcome to Double Mint, Grindhouse, whatever double entendre I can think of. Grindhouse Sundays, courtesy of AFNA Radio. This is the Comic Shop at 6 p.m. The call-in number, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Listen, I have mostly the crew in full effect. The captain is persona non grata. Actually, he is out on business at New York Comic Con. We'll talk about it. Actually, if we're fortunate, he may call in live at the last day of New York Comic Con. Of course, we have the great Darryl B. He is in the house. He has a lot to talk about. Yours truly also paid a visit to the Comic Con yesterday. But before we get into the discourse, folks, before we do that, we have to play some good old nerdcore music. This is Old Man Logan, Adam Warlock. Let's groove.
My skin is thick and my skeleton's adamantium. My claws are sharp when I'm brandishing. Berserker rage is beneath the surface that I'm handling. The past demons I'm battling. Life beats like Catalan. Older than most of these young rap cats. That's why I got a lot more just to talk about. And yes, I'm turning 32 with something to laugh back. I've seen a lot of things in my past that only made me stronger but colder inside. And still I got the flannel shirt that keeps the warmth close to mine. And I got some gray hairs, some wrinkles in time. It's like the rings of a tree telling the story of mine. Yeah, age with wisdom, love and understanding. But I'll kill you if you fuck with me and my fam friend. Don't let appearances fool, cause I move slow and the beat is at rest. And you don't know how bad I am in the flesh. About time we did something nerdy, right? You got 24 hours, let's do this. Come on. They call me Old Man Logan. Alright, I got the lowered expectations. In a fight, cause I'm a samurai. X-Man, killer inside. So don't let the grown man shit fool you, young child. Man, y'all are just Teen Titans, Avengers Academy. I'm the teacher with the syllabus. Jean Grey School for gifted and talented mutant beings in their anatomy. X-Gene, y'all best to follow the rules. And I treat my women with respect. Mariko, I'm old school in the flesh. Coleco, the school's upstate New York. Oswego, I drink tequila when I'm at rest. Amigo, yeah. Weapon X programming inside of my brain that causes animalistic mannerisms when I be handling this. They like you mad, bro, I'm like we ain't brothers. And you can slice my sword, I only recover. Healing factor sent you reeling after the bleeding. Saps all of your energy in a fight. I'm a bad motherfucker, can't you see? And you fuck with the Wolverine, you get the claws right in your face. Cause shit is over when you give me a taste.
Hey yo, I ain't no spring chicken, but like, you know, that matter, right? Come on.
They call me Old Man Logan. Alright, I got the lowered expectations. In a fight, cause I'm a samurai. X-Man, killer inside. So don't let the grown man shit fool you, young child. And someday this will all make sense. And someday this will all make sense. And someday this will all make sense.
Alright, once again, that was Adam Warlock, Old Man Logan. I would think, for those who are in the know, he is definitely referencing Wolverine. All right, the Comic Shop. Unfortunately,
final frontier.
Unfortunately, Captain Kirk is persona non grata. However, he may be calling in at some point during the show, live from New York Comic Con the last day on Sunday. But of course, we do have the great, indefatigable, irreplaceable, and just old ornery Daryl B.
To Cartoon Network, E2, those who forget the past are doomed to repeat it, and you did it to us again. But we'll be getting to that.
Yeah, I'm a little angry with Cartoon Network myself, and there's a whole game plan that did not go into play yesterday. I thought I was the only nerd that had this process. What we discussed behind the scenes, Daryl, was exactly how it went down. Just to the listening audience, again, I actually attended the New York Comic Con this past Saturday, which is not my normal day, which goes against my normal plan. Normally, it's Friday and Sunday. Somehow, it ended up being Saturday. Saturday's the worst day to go, maybe the best day for some folk. But for normal people, Saturday at the New York Comic Con sucks. Anyway, once you leave that event and you go back to your DVR thinking that your favorite animation stuff is going to be available, and it's not, not the move. Daryl, talk more about that. What the hell happened?
All right. Essentially, Cartoon Network is celebrating their 20th anniversary. All right? This is what they're saying. They're celebrating their 20th anniversary. All right. So if it's a 20th anniversary, you plan ahead for these things. All right? Oh, we're gonna make it an event weekend, 20th anniversary. All right. That's understandable. Now, you go ahead and you delayed Young Justice and Green Lantern being back on the schedule until, what, a couple weeks ago, right? We got like 2 weeks of fresh episodes, and we're all pumped, we're all hyped. Here it is. And you go ahead and everything on a TV guide, yes, folks, I still do read TV guide. TV guide. On your DirecTV boxes, on Time Warner Cable, on Comcast, or whatever your Dish Network, all your major providers have listed. All right, here it is, Green Lantern and Young Justice. So everybody's pumped up for it. Everybody's pumped up for it. Now me, I'm especially pumped up because DC came with a lot of good news, in television and movie wise. At Comic-Con, at least from what I was doing walking around there. So I come home, and I put my thing on, and what do I see? How to Train Your Dragon. What? Rubbing my eyes? No. This got to be a mistake. I'm not seeing how. Wait. And I'm clicking it like me clicking the remote will have any difference, because You just started off the Manhunter arc on the Green Lantern with the Anti-Monitor, so we're geeked up for that. You just started up the intrigue involving Calder and the White with Young Justice. So you want to dive right back in, and Cartoon Network does this thing unannounced again. And to a lot of fans reading the blogs, reading the forums, reading the articles, this felt like the dog and pony show they did with Batman the Animated Series towards the end of that run, like Static Shock towards the end of their run, like JL and JLU were towards the end of those runs. It felt like a slap in the face because everybody's gotten invested in the season. It'll be like tonight Walking Dead premieres, okay? And you get 2 good weeks of episodes of The Walking Dead. And then you're ready on the 3rd week and they put up a season 1 episode of Leverage. Wait. I was pumped for Walking Dead. How come this ain't listed? Cartoon Network, Warner Brothers, whoever was behind this, come on. really? Do we need to be slapped again in the face like this? And I know it's nerd rantings, but still, that's just not cool, man. Not cool. Afro Nerd, back to you, man.
Yeah, let's get into this a little bit more. Again, folks, we're talking about Cartoon Network. We're talking about Young Justice specifically and Green Lantern animated series, two extremely popular series. And they're popular with the hardcore geeks because, you know, actually, you know what? I think live from Comic-Con, I just see. I got to get his music. I have to get his. I got to give this young man his due. I believe he is calling, as I said to our listening audience, he's calling live from New York Comic Con. He can give us, I guess, more of a bird's eye view. Jeez, where's this thing? I just had it. Live TV. Maybe one day. Live radio, folks. Okay. You know who this is.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Listen, calling in live from the Comic-Con. They're breaking things down, so you might be hearing a little bit of background noise as I speak. But according to Hollywood Insiders,
here we go.
Hollywood Insiders, because there were a few there, that they totally underestimated the turnout because they had 115,000 people show up over the 3 to 4 day extravaganza.
Wow.
So, the New York version of the Comic-Con is growing bigger, 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 and stronger. Now, something else to add. I saw about 9 Deadpools. I saw about 6 Wonder Woman. You hear that here? You might have to move me a little bit because you're hearing noise right out here.
It's all right.
All right? Can you still hear me?
You're calling live. You're calling live from the Comic-Con. It's all right.
All right. So it seems like the geeks and nerds definitely want to see, as we talk about, Deadpool and Wonder Woman. So for those people out there, the ones that are in the suits, listen up, because the geeks and nerds inherit the earth. They're totally in control of everything right now. Comic-Con, there was people everywhere, all over the place. It was incredible and rather exhausting. Geeks abound, and the geek thing is a very good thing, by the way.
Well, you know something, Captain? I was there, as I was telling our audience, I was there Saturday. And I saw I see that, of course, the Captain has special exhibition status, so he was there before I was there. And, you know, you were able to see everything. And I have to admit, I've been going ever since it started, and it literally each year it grows exponentially. It was far more chaotic than even last year. At least last year I remember being able to move around with some level of comfort. I had complete discomfort this time, and maybe because it was on a Saturday. But all I saw was just wall. The nerves were pouring in like you pour water in a cup. And actually, Captain, this is, and I want Dal to comment on this. Doesn't this really make, if you're talking about 100,000 plus people, this has to put us on par with San Diego. Has to. They're going to have to address this. Like, San Diego is always the convention that's the one that gets kind of the cachet. It gets all the respect. It's Hollywood. But because Hollywood, Dal knows about this, and the Captain knows about this too, Hollywood financially is not what it once was. Actually, Hollywood East, if I'm not mistaken, is overtaking Hollywood West. Isn't that correct? That it's because of the expense of making movies. It's just too expensive to make movies in Hollywood, in California. So now, actually, I believe this is the first time in the last year or two that New York has surpassed California as far as TV shows, movies. The actual filming process is taking place more in New York than in California. Actually, more jobs in entertainment, conventional entertainment, are more so in New York than California even. California's on the downswing. New York's on the upswing. So isn't it time that the New York Comic Con gets its rightful place, or maybe it might even overtake San Diego? What are your thoughts on that, Daryl?
Well, that's why they're talking about moving Comic Con out of Jacob Javits for this new proposed convention center / hall that they're planning to create. They want to get a bigger venue. And my thing is, you know what? I kind of was mad when they moved it from Madison Square over to Jacob Javits. But after seeing how big the crowds have been the last 2 years, it was a great move. You know, I like it how it is now. It's getting to be annoying. I'll concur with you on that part, because you can't see everything. Stuff that wasn't restricted in the past is restricted now. You know, I could see the point of long-time goers such as us that, it may be getting a little bit too big for its britches. But at the same time, it is great to see so many creators coming to this. It's great to see so many comic-related news and stuff over here. This still remains with the show in Chicago, all right, and the show in Philly. Those three shows are still the ones that are mostly about comic books, fantasy movies, you know, without other stuff getting in. And that's what's killed San Diego for me. And I'm hoping we could hold on to that for a bit longer. Back to you.
Yeah. So what else can you talk about, Captain? As far as you were there for 2 days. I mean, when I was there, I was almost being suffocated. So many more female geeks. I mean, it's been female geeks for a minute anyway. But I don't know what was the number. What was the ratio? Would you say for men to women?
Did we lose Cap?
Well, the first thing I would say, as one exhibitor told me, he said this, he used my own words, it's like he listened to the show or something. He said, this is now a pop event. He says, I've been doing these type of shows for the last 15 years. He said, this is the worst I've seen it on the East Coast. This is now a pop event. It's a total pop event now. And he also said that people dress up more here in New York for the New York Comic Con than they do for the San Diego. He said the people out there in San Diego are a little bit more reluctant, even though it's very Hollywood-esque. But the New Yorkers are going hard. And that's also what I saw today. I saw that today. Today was a Sunday, and I definitely saw it yesterday, Saturday. Serious business. Serious business. They're not playing around out there.
Well, you know something. Well, let me tell you something, man. When you're starting to hear $100,000 plus attendance, I thought that was only reserved for San Diego. If it's $100,000 plus on the East Coast, that means that New York Comic Con has arrived. It has to. And like Daryl said, I believe they're looking at a Queens, the development of a Queens location. I mean, a huge, potentially, I guess, the biggest event center in the country that would be far bigger than San Diego or the present Jacob Javits in NYC. So, I mean, when I was there and just kind of looking out into the crowd, it was immense, and people just could not stop coming in. And the women, men, multiculturalism, Asian folk were in full effect, Latin folk were in effect, Asian folk were in effect, everybody and anybody, even, I'm assuming even some, not some, but I don't want to say visually, but I thought I saw a gay contingency there as well. You know.
Oh yeah. The Rule 32 crowd was out.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, we have to be honest. I mean, this has become, everyone is finding their place at Comic-Con. And that's something else that we've talked about for many years now, is that that's something else, that's something that they're going to have to address as well. I mean, when I was there, I ran into some brothers. I don't know if you saw them, Daryl. Maybe the captain eventually saw them. There's some guys that were dressed as, one guy was dressed as Black Panther with his Black Panther guard, you know, with Wakandan warriors and the Black Panther. And I went up to them, and they were so appreciative of me acknowledging them, and they were so into, a matter of fact, for the next show, I have more information about this Black Panther crew. They're literally a Black Panther, black comic book, black geek outfit out of Harlem. So Harlem, which is also another thing, you got a historical, culturally important black city that is Harlem, you know, with their own brand or their own brand for comic book collecting. So you have, you know, the Wakandan Warriors from Harlem at the New York Comic Con, and we did a little bit of politics between each other, and I'm going to give the audience more information for the next show, and I'm going to reach out to get them on the show. But there's something that the Comic Con is going to have to address, is this diversity, that it is far more. I mean, you had women. This is something that I don't remember seeing. Maybe Daryl can talk about this. I saw more women dressed as male characters. That's mm-hmm. something I never saw really before. Now, what is that about, Daryl? Well, you saw women dressed as, you know, the male heroes.
Hey, it's Rule 32. Rule 32 is essentially a gender swap as a character. So it's popular all the time in San Diego, but in recent years, I have seen at New York Comic Con some fantastic female versions of male characters. Like, I don't know if you saw the Battle Damage. There's a female walking around Battle Damage Deadpool yesterday. And I was like, oh, my God, that looks awesome. With the suit's got rips, you know. She's got the Wade Wilson, like, it looked like her face was actually rotten. You know, it looked awesome. Yeah, I mean, we've had the Rule 32 JLA for years, where they just switched the characters' genres. But this was the first time I saw a Rule 32 JL Europe team. International, female Booster, female Black Beetle, female Martian Manhunter. And I'm like, yo, you see, that's what happens when you get together and go like, you know what, we're going to do the show, but we're going to do the show in force. We're going to come correct. We're all going to look good here. And like I said, you're seeing less and less crappy costumes, and I know the Cap could testify to that. But, yo, when I was there Saturday morning, it looked like everybody was going for first place in the costume contest. I did not see a crappy uniform early in that morning, and it was a sight to see.
Well, you know, something else that's been happening over the last, I'd say, 2 years, that even the reporting of the event has changed, where they have to have their own imprints. Like there has to be reporters parked out front on the West Coast and East Coast for this specific event. You know, years ago, it might have been more of an internal thing where you might have had only notables only notables that make the comics, people who read the comics and know about the writers, know about the artists. Now it goes beyond that. Now the writers have stepped. Now the writers and artists, they've become major Hollywood players. Mark Miller is a Hollywood player. They're cutting deals now. It wasn't like that before. This is where, you know, you really become more melancholy for the Siegel and Schuster guys, because this is what they should have become. So now, because of their sacrifice, Mark Miller and Frank Miller and all these other guys, they're not just comic book creators. They're filmmakers now. I mean, it's been going that way for a few years, but now I think we're seeing the apex of it. You know, now these comic books that you're seeing, they're getting movie deals out of it. Secret Service, which I really love this book. I mentioned, I believe, last show or the show before last, Secret Service, which is essentially, I guess, Mark Miller's take on the spy world, and he is a Scotsman. That has been optioned for a movie deal. I mean, if he do it true to the comic book, it should do very well. But it's a different scene now. It's a totally big thing. So I'm very anxious about these comic book conventions. But I will say that as far as my experiences yesterday, and I told Daryl this behind the scenes, and I told Captain when I saw him there yesterday, it was tiresome. I never felt that tired walking around. And I don't know if it was Saturday specific, but you just couldn't be, even if you were press, if you had press designation, you couldn't just walk into the IGN theater, to the listening audience. The IGN theater is essentially a theater hall that has all these previews where you're able to see clips of movies, movie trailers. You're able to get inside information. Matter of fact, sometimes they will tell you not to have your recording equipment because it's so spoiler emphasized. They don't want you to go in there and spoil everything. But this time now, you have to have VIP status to go into the IGN theater. That's the first I've ever saw that. So if you could not get into the IGN theater, I was at a loss to do anything. I was disgusted.
So you didn't get a chance to see Dark Knight Returns, the part two. You didn't get a chance to see any of that. Damn, dude. Sorry, bro.
But you went on Friday, and you know you went on a better day. I was supposed to have gone on Friday. So tell us about it. What did you get out of Comic-Con? So give us some news.
Well, okay. News. DC is still maintaining that they're going to have a JLA movie by December 2015, okay? Jeff Johns interviewed Jim Lee as I was doing my usual questionnaire thing with the crowds and growers. I managed to interview people from 25 different countries. 25! I'm like, usually it's like I get an Aussie, I get a Brit, you know, I get a lot of people from Japan, I get a lot of Mexicans, I get a lot of Canadians. But this year I found people from Norway, I got people from the Netherlands, so there were people that flew in just for the weekend and are going home like tonight. And I'm like, that's amazing, you know. I'm going right to New York for Comic-Con, and I'm leaving now. Other news, like I said, behind the scenes, it surprised me who Jim Lee really wants to see as a movie done by DC, and I'll be putting that in the blog this week. But believe it or not, it's Swamp Thing, and I'll explain his reasons why on that. I was surprised how many people preferred Avengers over the Dark Knight Rises. I was surprised because last year at this time, it was almost impossible to see the pre-showing of Dark Knight Rises with their clips compared to the Avengers movie. But it definitely was a change in tone this year from last year in regards to that. Other news. You know what? Places like Comic Book Resources, Fourth Letter, Comics Alliance, they got to get to a lot of the panels and stuff. But I will tell this to anybody that's going out there. If you see they have a Venture Brothers panel, I urge you to go and attend that. Because it's like an unpanel. It's like a joke session. It's nuts. Unfortunately, we're going to have to wait for more shows of Venture Brothers, but we're going to get a Halloween special before the thing starts up in 2013 again. But, you know, that was just complete fun. And I must say that the creators and stuff that I talked to this year, they were more energetic. I don't know whether it was the Marvel Now thing, the DC 52 thing, but in previous years I interviewed like people there, and they wouldn't have the time of day. meeting them outside for like a quick 2-3 minute, just picking their brains and stuff. I got to talk to people like Gail Simone. I talked to Gail Simone for 10 minutes this year, and I found that absolutely positively shocking. You know, and yes, I flipped her the card, so hopefully she gets in contact with me. But, you know, I'm hoping that this good feeling and stuff transfers more to the products that the big companies are putting out. Of course, I couldn't get to see everything, all right? I really wanted to check out some of those new anime releases over by the Anime Fest thing. Couldn't get to it. It was simply impossible. I couldn't get into the major Marvel Now panels. I really wanted to. Couldn't get their time constraints. It's just impossible to get to everything. Even on a Thursday morning and a Friday morning, it was just impossible because you get caught up on one end and you get sucked in on one end, and then you totally lose track of everything. But I will leave on this: that DC game that's coming out, man, were people buzzing about that?
That's the Injustice for All.
Oh my God, everybody was talking about it. I didn't get a chance to try the demos or anything like that, but it was similar to how people were buzzing about the Transformers game last year, that premiered at Comic-Con. There were people talking about the Injustice a lot.
Well, you know something? We're going to have to take a quick musical break, But I do want to – one thing I did notice, and maybe has a lot to do with the size of this thing, is that last year and the year before that, when, again, the crowds were there but not this pronounced. I mean, this was a really – this was an animal house. You had at least a split auditorium or a split center between comic book-related stuff on one side and a sizable – video game side, you know, a video game portion on the other side. There was less of a video game, unless I'm mistaken. I didn't really see a big video game presence. I mean, it was there. They had certain exhibits. They had the video game exhibits, but the last time I was there, last year, they had a whole video game section.
Yeah, it was the Marvel Capcom tournaments that were going on last year. They didn't have that this year.
Yeah, like they literally had a ring. Like they constructed a boxing ring in the middle of the event for Marvel versus Capcom. It was a whole section. I remember last year, the whole section, all you saw was flat screens on one side. This year, they were kind of you know, sprinkled here and there. You know, they had what is the new Marvel game? Marvel Heroes, I guess. Heroes is supposed to be Marvel's answer to DC Universe. Is that what it's supposed to be, Daryl?
Yeah, and they were also pushing the Avengers Alliance game that people have been playing online. They're now moving that to the smartphone sector. So that's what Marvel was pushing in terms of video game stuff.
All right, let's go to this quick musical break. When we get back, we got more from the Comic-Con folks. It looks like we're going to talk mostly about the Comic-Con. But I do want to – I also – actually, you know what? After the break, I do want to talk more about this Cartoon Network snafu. There's another side to it that I don't think we really discussed. Actually, the late, great Dwayne McDuffie, he tapped into this. He tapped into this himself. So we'll get back. This is – Tribe One, Kaju, Crush, Kill, Destroy. We'll be back in a few moments, folks. Let's groove.
Attention, everyone. This is an emergency broadcast. The unpleasant noise you are about to hear coming from your radio is not a mistake. Please do not turn off your radio, but turn up the volume on your receiver as high as it can go so that you can make the sound we broadcast as loud as possible.
Crush, kill, destroy. Crush, kill, destroy.
Okay, we're back once again. That was Tribe One. More Nerdcore, folks. Tribe One, Kaiju, Crush, Kill, Destroy. Once again, thanks to Daryl B. for hipping me to this this music. Folks, this is the Comic Shop. We're a little bit past the midway point. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. It appears that the captain has dropped off. He was calling in live from New York Comic Con the last day. He's there on business for obvious reasons. So he may or may not come back for even AfroNerd Radio because, again, he's at the Comic Con even as we speak. Getting back into the poll, we were talking about the Comic Con. But even before that, we were talking about Cartoon Network taking off our favorite animated shows. And, you know, Darryl, when I was discussing this with you behind the scenes, you know, I was expecting to check out these cartoons, my favorite cartoons, after the convention. I had everything saved up in my DVR. The DVR never recorded this stuff because it never aired. And I'm on the internet, and folks are talking about a whole lot of things, and I want to verify this stuff with you. What they're saying is that we are to expect new episodes in 2013, which is going to be – I don't get it. So that's one thing. The other thing is they're looking to once again split up these episodes into fake seasons where normally you would just get 20 episodes for one season. Now what they do is they give you 10 for season one and the remaining 13 or whatever for season two. So now they're making it seem as if you're getting more seasons when you're not, and that ultimately Green Lantern and Young Justice are to be canceled because of the failed toy lines. This is the thing that the late, great Dwayne McDuffie told us that happened to him with Static Shock, that although it was extremely highly rated, well-received, that they had difficulty establishing a toy line to glue in that franchise. And now I'm hearing talk of the same thing with Green Lantern and with Young Justice. What say you, Daryl, on this?
Once again, big business crushes the nerd. Like I said, we all got hyped. My thing is, and this is what drives me nuts, all right? If you are going to do this, why release those first couple of episodes? Hold those ones back until, like, November. And they come out strong. It just reeks of lack of planning. Like, okay, we're putting out the new episodes, and then it plays for a couple weeks, and, oh, no, you're not supposed to do that yet. That's what this reeks of. But the problem is, the first four episodes we saw, two from Green Lantern and two from Young Justice, they were so good that we were waiting. I had people come up to me at some of the bars I go to, all right? And like I said, I'm no spring chicken, but I wear my geek flag proudly with various shirts I wear. And they go like, yo, I see the Young Justice thing. I need to get caught up. What? Oh, my God, this stuff looks amazing. And was that the antimatter we saw in Green Lantern? Oh, I got to get back looking at this stuff. And then you come on Comic-Con weekend in New York. And I know it's a New York bias for us folks, and I'm sorry about that. But Comic-Con was that good for DC in terms of news. And then you come right and do this. You think Geoff Johns is looking at some of the heads at Cartoon Network? Like, why you tase me, bro? Why you tase me? You just cut the legs out. We're generating good buzz, and you just cut the legs out from under us. I wouldn't be shocked if Johns had that conversation with the higher-ups at Cartoon Network. But you know what?
Well, you know what? You know what, Daryl? What gets me is that this is probably why Ultimate Spider-Man is going to survive. Because I just, you know, you and I have been talking about this for a while. I just, first of all, they might as well just give up on comic book writers and just let the marketers do it then. This is why you have a spider cycle. You can tell you have a spider cycle. I mean, let's be honest here. You're seeing a spider cycle as a character, I guess, in Ultimate Spider-Man. And it's all about a toy coming out of that, I would think. I mean, you see it pretty clearly now.
Yeah.
I mean, this is geared towards kids. Okay, fine. But, you know, are you making a cartoon for the sake of culture, for the sake of entertainment, or are you really making a cartoon to facilitate toys? Because then you might as well just forget about having actual comic book writers do this stuff and give it to the marketers.
Let the marketers
create the comic. I mean, create the cartoon. I mean, that's ultimately what you want to do, because does it always have to rely? I mean, I'm surprised that we had a 20-year run with Batman the Animated Series and Superman and Batman and of course the JLA. I'm shocked that we were able to get two decades of that world, of that Diniverse,
But remember, they weren't immune to it too, because this sort of stuff happened at the end of The Adventures of Batman and Robin, and the last season of Superman, that was essentially aborted, okay? And go looking back, Legion of Superheroes, same thing happened to them over on the CW. You know, it just drives us nuts, if you couldn't tell out there, audience. It just drives us nuts. And it's almost like a cruel taunting to put out what they put out to whet our, pardon me, appetites, and then just pull it away from us. You know, and again, not immune is the Disney and the Marvel side of it, because we're about to lose Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes for the Avengers Assemble thing. That they want to put more in the Ultimate Spider-Man line, and I just have to say this, and I'm looking at Marvel and Disney. I know I'm mad at DC. I'm even mad at Marvel now. Just look at them. You have Superhero Squad. You have Ultimate Spidey. All right. There's your kiddie shows right there. Those two shows, that it's geared to the kids. You could do that. Couldn't us adult nerds get an Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes where everything's a little bit more serious? Could we get where the acting's more adult for us?
Daryl, we've been talking about this for years now. I think it's not really about us. We're not buying the toys. The toys facilitate the interest in these cartoons to begin with. It's just another way. I mean, what happens is you have the Avengers movie. It makes $1 billion. So you know for sure that there's going to be an Avengers cartoon. But that cartoon is only meant as an instrument to sell product. It's not really meant the same way. I mean, one can make the argument that the Avengers film would be for that purpose too. But let's face it, a film that makes $1 billion and actually $100 million in sales the first 5 days of the DVD as well. I mean, this product does not stop making money. But now it seems like the cartoons are only meant for kids to sell goofy plastic toys. I mean, that's what it boils down to. That's what it has to be. So, I mean, has it been confirmed that these two series that just came out, really, that these two series have been canceled? And because of the toy stuff, I mean, that's what I'm hearing. I guess in the underground. I don't know if it's been said above ground, but I think underground, I'm hearing lack of toy sales, and therefore it gets canceled. No toys, no cartoon.
Well, I'll say it like this: it is one going to the forums and stuff like that. Dedicate places like TV.com. You know, there are fans who truly believe that this is just, okay, they're trying to just force us out. And I'm like, force you out? Like, yeah, they're trying to force us out. And I'm like, oh, here it comes. This is going to be interesting.
You know something, Daryl? I want to talk about Joe Quesada for a moment, actually, from the New York Comic Con. But just to wrap this up, You know, they might not get away with this the way that they would normally go, because my understanding, because every nerd, as we talked about, had their had everything lined up to see this. You had Comic-Con, they had everything on DVR. I mean, the way you just discussed it was exactly how it was in my head. Everything was planned out. You had everything planned, and these favorite cartoons did not see the light of day for Saturday. So, but Cartoon Network on Twitter received a deluge of angry viewers that said, "What the hell is going on?" A lot of people,
I can imagine.
A lot of people went to Twitter, to Cartoon Network, to say, "What the hell are you guys doing?" So maybe because the products are so good, because again, Green Lantern has risen to the occasion. Young Justice has certainly risen to the occasion, and people went to the Twitterverse to complain. Now what I'm thinking is, the smart money would be, why don't they develop stuff, if it's so much about selling product, why don't they develop stuff that appeals to the youth as well to the older viewer? Statues and clothing, T-shirts. I mean, I don't quite get them. You can't sell product. If you know who the audience is, sell to them.
Hey, I'll tell you often now, like I said before, I go out to bars every Friday and Saturday night, right? Well, at least on one of those days, I wear polo shirts of Venom, Punisher, Wolverine, Justice League, you know, because back in the 90s, late 90s and stuff, both companies had lines of polo shirts that were straight from the artists themselves. So I wear a Jim Lee, you know, a Jim Lee Wolverine. I wear a Frank Miller Punisher, you know. I wear a Justice League by Nolan. You know, I have those shirts, and I put them on. And you'd be surprised at the amount of people that go like, "Yo, great shirt. Where do you pick that one up at?" And they discontinued selling these like a couple of years ago. Hell, I got a McFarlane Spawn that I wear out, but all orange and black. And I wore that out last Halloween, and I wear that on special occasions whenever I go to see a horror movie and stuff like that. And people love the shirts. But the problem is, because of the contracts and everything, DC and Marvel, they don't make them anymore. And it's a shame, because it's an adult shirt. You know, you look good in it. You're wearing, you're proclaiming your love for the art form, you know, and it's fashionable. But at the same time.
Daryl, let's cut to the chase. This is something I failed to really mention bluntly. New York Comic Con, I would say San Diego as well, is all about adult commerce. It's very few kids. I mean, I saw a few kids. You know, you saw adults there, you know, the adult geek with his children or with her children. But 98% of the crowd, and we're talking about once again, folks, records were broken, 100,000 plus in attendance for this weekend, was all about 20-somethings up to 60. I saw an older woman dressed as Storm in costume. So you even have old geeks there, old heads.
I saw a 70-plus dude as Alan Scott. You know, it's out there.
Well, you see what I'm saying? So, but the reality is, it's the older geek that's buying all this, you know, styling online. Again, just to plug them. Styling. StylingOnline.com is rife with adult swag, as they say. Adult garb. All kinds of, you know, inside, like what Daryl talked about, truly insider garb, you know, something that was drawn by Frank Miller, something that was drawn by, you know, or referenced by some your favorite artist, you know. So, you know, you might have a Frank quietly drawn shirt. I mean, you know, that's not for the kiddie, really. Anyway, just to move along, because we have about 6 minutes remaining, and then we're going to have to go next door for AfroNerd featuring Captain Kirk, or AfroNerd Radio, I should say. Joe Quesada, who is the chief creative officer of Marvel Entertainment, he was at the Comic-Con, of course. He's going to be there. That's the head nerd in charge anyway. And he talked about, I guess even on the cinematic tip, this whole expansion on Marvel's cosmic end. That we have, you know, we have the Marvel, you know, the tried and true Avengers. We have that now. We have the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series. And there's talk about Agent Coulson being resurrected for the TV series. Now, he comes out, Mr. Quesada comes out and talks about this, their desire to expand on their cosmic heroes. So that he was talking about, obviously, the Guardians of the Galaxy and Nova. But I guess that would also talk about Silver Surfer. But isn't Silver Surfer a Fox property?
There's talk that Millar maybe they may give Millar a special license to go in between Marvel Studios and Fox. You know, that's the thing with Marvel when it comes to the films. Right now, all characters are in play. There are no characters restricted. Even the Fox-owned characters, and I use owned in quotations, they're still playable. They're still doable. They still are marketable. That's the problem with the DC end when it comes to this. You still don't know who has what contract when it comes to DC, and you don't know who's running things. At least with Marvel, you know, here's Quesada, here's Millar, here's and now you got Whedon in there. You know who's running that stuff. So I'm worrying less about it. And you know what? A good cosmic movie away from Earth, hey, it'll be a curveball, but I guarantee fans will wrap it up.
Well, something we have to mention, too, and I'm going to throw this back at you, too. Again, we have about 4 minutes remaining, so the shop is going to be closing soon. But Quesada was somewhat playfully cryptic about some of the other work that he's doing. He said that he's also in charge of secret projects that would require him to be on the West Coast. And he was being coy about projects that were heavily discussed on the internet. He said there's going to be another announcement soon. So it was interesting that when I went to comicbookmovie.com, and we tout them quite a bit, comicbookmovie.com to the listening audience, when we're talking about some of the things that come out of that website. When they broke this story about Quesada, almost 99% of the commenters thought that when he said some secret project that has been discussed on the internet, everybody pointed to Black Panther. Some thought West Coast Avengers, but I don't remember there being any West Coast Avengers talk as far as a movie was concerned. So some folks, and I think Ant-Man has already been established. So do you think finally that he's talking about Black Panther, or are we just what's going on?
I don't know. For all we know, it could be the Champions. You know, it could be the Champions. It could be the Defenders. We don't know, but that's it. That's what I've been telling folks, you know. We talk a lot insider here, but, yo, Marvel has set themselves up with how Avengers did that it's literally infinite, the amount of choices they have. And they have a little leeway to do a stinker or two. But it could be anything. It could be anything, and they possibly could get away with it. Or possibly make a gangbuster movie from a property you wouldn't expect to be a gangbuster movie. That's what I'm loving about this situation right now. And that's why I say, DC, step your game up. Come on. Catch up. Because it only helps us here on the show. It helps us looking at these things, if you guys do quality too, because we'll be in Nirvana.
All right, listen, Daryl, we're going to have to close out. We're going to have to close out. I was going to mention that, you know, after seeing a Newsarama, you know, they have the glass enclosures looking at the crowd. They said, you know, there might have to be an Afro nerd glass enclosures at some in the future. I just believe that. Because was there any discussion of Black Dynamite there, by the way?
Oh, yes. There was a Black Dynamite panel. Or not even a panel. There was a group of guys that dressed like Black Dynamite and his whole crew. I don't know if there was a panel or not. Like I said, I couldn't catch everything. But just like how you saw Black Panther, I saw Black Dynamite thing, and it was stated that Tommy Davidson was there. I didn't get a chance to see him. But I figured if Davidson was there, Jai White should have been there too.
All right, we're going to have to close up. We'll talk about this going into next week, folks. Again, Daryl, as always, we're going to have to move next door. But I think we're going to have to see some kind of Afro Nerd imprint. If there's Newsarama is there and comic book resources, maybe we might have our own glass enclosure. Just food for thought. All right, folks. Let's go next door to Afro Radio. Daryl, we'll see you once again. We appreciate it.
Enjoy.
Spock with a beard?
I think not.
Of oppression. But lo and behold, some four decades later, what have I found but a bunch of trifling, shiftless, good-for-nothing niggers. And I know some of you don't want to hear me say that word. It's the ugliest word in the English language, but that's what I see now. Niggers. And you don't want to be a nigger. Because niggas are living contradictions. Niggas are full of unfulfilled ambitions. Niggas wax and wane. Niggas love to complain. Niggas love to hear themselves talk but hate to explain. Niggas love being another man's judge and jury. Niggas procrastinate until it's time to worry. Niggas love to be late. Niggas hate to hurry. Black Entertainment television is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Usher, Michael Jackson is not a genre of music. And now I'd like to talk about Soul Plane. I've seen what's around the corner. I've seen what's over the horizon. And I promise you, you niggas have nothing to celebrate. And no, I won't get there with you. I'm going to Canada.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funkin' lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space to exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a logger.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, D-Bird, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Smokin' Joe, folks. Smokin' Joe showed you how it was done. Smokin' Joe showed you how it was done. Talking about the VP debates, Biden versus Ryan, a.k.a. the Joker versus the Riddler. Yes, I said it. Boy, was it entertaining. Folks, welcome to the second half. This is Afternoon Radio, a.k.a. Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. Unfortunately, or fortunately, Captain Kirk is persona non grata because he is actually at New York Comic Con. We spoke about that during the last broadcast at the Comic Shop, which is at 6 p.m. Now, at 7 p.m., Afternoon Radio. The call-in number, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Folks, we have a lot to discuss. Obviously, we're going to talk about last week's VP debate. Pure entertainment. Pure entertainment. But first, let's listen to a little bit of Jammy Jams. I got to give it to you hard because this is giving you the best in urban alternative music. This is the English Beat, Mirror in the Bathroom. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove. Once again, welcome to Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. Actually, Captain is not available. He's at the New York Comic Con. However, we will continue with the show in his absence. He is sorely missed. We have to talk about the VP debates from last Thursday. And honestly, it's probably one of the most entertaining debates, presidential debates, presidential or vice presidential debates I've ever seen. I was mesmerized while looking at this thing, purely because of VP Joe Biden's performance. He was mesmerizing. He was comical. He was unhinged. And I guess I really should not be amazed. I really should not be amazed. But there seems to be somewhat of an issue or somewhat of a discrepancy as to how this thing went down. The media are reporting this in a very peculiar manner. I mean, I guess the way it's going down is if you are squarely in the Republican camp, Paul Ryan was the victor. And even according to a CNN poll, I believe it was 48-44. So it was 48 in favor of Paul Ryan for that debate. But, and again, I am a registered Republican, but I am also a Barack Obama supporter. But I'm having a grave amount of difficulty thinking that Paul Ryan won that debate. Let's be honest here. Joe Biden is the veteran politician. Mr. Ryan is a young man. He's new to this somewhat. I mean, he's had a respectable career, but he just does not have the man hours. He does not have the man hours that Joe Biden has. He just doesn't. Mr. Ryan is 42. Mr. Biden is 68. Biden goes back to the late 60s, early 70s. He has about as much experience as long as Mr. Ryan has been alive. And it looked that way. It looked like he was schooling a child. It was what it was, folks. It was what it was. And I have to be honest about how the liberals took out their man from the first debate. I distinctly remember looking at MSNBC, and MSNBC is definitely en route or trying to be the liberal version of Fox. Let's be honest, folks. They are trying desperately to be the liberal version of Fox. All the personalities, all the histrionics, all the hyperbolic statements, they definitely try hard to be the liberal answer to Fox. And the increase in viewership is proving that. And even after President Barack Obama's first debate, they were the ones that came out and said, you know what? Where was he? They were highly critical of their man. In the case of Fox with Paul Ryan, they weren't trying to go out that way. They were on Camp Romney Ryan all the way. So I might have to commend MSNBC for at least not being sycophantic and being very critical of Barack Obama's performance, whereas Fox News, they were on Team Ryan all the way, and they thought that Joe Biden was unhinged. That's the way that they were looking at this debate. Any discerning viewer clearly saw Mr. Biden school Mr. Ryan. You know what, folks, again, the captain is at the New York Comic Con, even as we speak. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. I do want to play a clip from the Young Turks, and let's see what they have to say about this Thriller in Manila, politician style. Let's listen to what they have to say, and then we'll come back. More on the VP debates. Hold on.
So last night we had the vice presidential debate between Joe Biden and Paul Ryan, and Joe Biden didn't just bring a lead pipe, he brought a blowtorch. Man, he laughed at him. He laughed at him. Here, in fact, watch a compilation of his laughs here.
This is a bunch of stuff.
They disavowed
their own statement.
You both saw Benjamin Netanyahu.
We Irish call it malarkey.
Evans, we have these sanctions in place. It's in spite of their opposition.
Oh, God.
They've given...
Can you tell the Americans,
by the way,
what's worse, another war in the Middle East?
To a nuclear weapon.
The Ayatollahs see these kinds of statements, and they think, I'm going to get a nuclear weapon. We can debate the timeline. We can debate the timeline.
It's going down.
This is a two-minute answer,
look.
Look, here's the deal.
That sometimes the words don't come out of your mouth the right way.
But I always say what I mean.
Look, I love that Biden did that. Of course, the rest of the media is like, oh, that was a little impolite. Fox News crying all day about, I can't believe he laughed at him. But Paul Ryan looked like a child. Do you think that guy is ready to be president of the United States of America? Look, and his talking points were nonsense. They should have been dismissed, and Biden did dismiss him. And he kept hammering him all night long. Watch this.
But it shouldn't be surprising for a guy who says 47% of the American people are unwilling to take responsibility for their own lives. My friend recently in a speech in Washington said 30% of the American people are takers. I mean, these guys bet against America all the time. Stop talking about how you care about people. Show me something. Show me a policy. If they get out of the way, if they get out of the way and let us pass the tax cut for the middle class, make it permanent. If they get out of the way and pass the jobs bill, if they get out of the way and let us allow 14 million people who are struggling to stay in their homes, just get out of the way. And I've never met two guys who are more down on America across the board. These people are my mom and dad, the people I grew up with, my neighbors. Folks, use your common sense. Who do you trust on this? A man who introduced a bill that would raise it $6,400 a year. They are elderly people who, in fact, are living off of Social Security. There are veterans and people fighting in Afghanistan right now. Let me tell you who some of those other small businesses are. Hedge funds that make $600-800 million a year. That's what they count as small business. Let's facts matter, Martha. You're a foreign policy expert. Facts matter.
RC East,
the most dangerous place
that's
in the world.
Why.
You'd rather Americans be going and doing the job
instead
of the
We are already sending Americans to do the job, but fewer of them. That's the whole point.
We're sending in more Afghans to do the job. Afghans to do the job.
I love that. Get out the way, yo. Get out the way. He's like, look, if you're not going to actually care about the middle class, and you're going to do the same exact policies that got us into this recession, that created this deficit, then at least get out of the way and let us do our proposals so that we can help this economy. And I love that he called them out on all these things that they needed to be called out for decades on. And you know what? Ryan apparently was feeling the heat because he kept going to the water, like going to his corner, going, oh, hold up, dog, hold up. Now, let me get a refreshment here. In fact, we counted the number of times he went for the water. Watch this.
By 300 from the Reagan years to take action militarily. But last thing, the absolute last resort, the idea of evidence of cronyism. Both, by the way, Vice President of Debate, I hear this kind of stuff, said it would cost six
minutes here, a few seconds, really. Coin toss again.
It's fun for everybody. Now, look, Paul Ryan came in there with his talking points. Joe Biden seemed like a real guy who really cared about these issues and at least knew them really well, whereas Paul Ryan seemed like he was reading all of his answers. But I love the line Biden gave him. He said, look, all you guys do is talk. Show me in your policies that you care about people. You tell me you care about people, but then you've got these giant tax cuts for the rich and nothing for the middle class. That ain't right. And in fact, Biden wasn't done with him yet. He did the lead pipe, and here comes the blowtorch.
With all due respect, that's a bunch of malarkey.
And why is that so?
Because not a single thing he said is accurate. This is a bunch of stuff. Look, here's the deal.
What does that mean, a bunch of stuff?
Well, it means it's simply inaccurate.
It's Irish.
With regard to Bibi, he's been my friend for 39 years.
You know, I heard that death panel argument from Sarah Palin. It seems every vice presidential debate I hear this kind of stuff about panels.
Their ideas are old and their ideas are bad. And by the way, they talk about this great recession, if it fell out of the sky, like, oh my goodness, where did it come from? It came from this man voting to put two wars in a credit card, $1 trillion tax cut for very wealthy. He sent me two letters saying, by the way, can you send me some stimulus money for companies here in the state of Wisconsin? And now all of a sudden these guys are so seized with the concern about the debt that they created.
He said he did ask for stimulus money.
Sure, he
correct?
Did. By the way,
on two occasions, we advocated for constituents who are applying for grants. That's what we do. We do that for all constituents who are applying.
Well, I love that. I love that. And now he's sitting here looking at me.
Jack Kennedy lowered tax rates, increased growth. Ronald Reagan.
Oh, now you're Jack Kennedy.
Ronald Reagan.
Even Ryan had to laugh at the Jack Kennedy line, but the stimulus letters were the best. You got two stimulus letters. Here's one. Then here's another one. Well, I thought you didn't. You said it doesn't work. Then why did you come begging for stimulus money and saying your letters that it creates jobs? And my favorite part was when he said, look, these are same old ideas, because that's exactly right. They only have the tax cuts for the rich and wars in the Middle East, and they want to go back to that, those ideas that nearly destroyed the country under the Bush administration. Well, Joe Biden's job was to stop the bleeding after President Obama bungled the first debate. Not only did he stop the bleeding, he started the bleeding on the other side. So I thought it was a clear win, and don't let anybody tell you otherwise. The mainstream press always, let's call it even, unless the Democrats lost, in which case, let's say the Democrats lost. They're going to try to call this even. It wasn't even. They had to take Paul Ryan out on a stretcher.
All right, folks. Once again, that was the Young Turks. You know what came to my mind? You know what came to my mind when I saw that debate?
Hadouken! Hadouken! Toryukin!
Gotta keep it funky, folks.
Ivo! Ivo! Right hook! Right hook! Left hand! Left hand! Knock him out! Knock him out! Ivo! Ivo!
I have to keep it funky, folks. I go back to my Afro Nerd ways. I go back to my video game and Hadouken! Hadouken! Anybody's familiar with the Street Fighter game? That's exactly what I thought. This debate was so entertaining. It is definitely analogous to intellectual pugilism. That's exactly what we saw there. I was as excited about that than when Tyson was in charge. When Tyson was the man, I could honestly say I was just about as excited, and it was just as compelling. They might as well have been fighting. It was such a slaughter. So I thought it was completely entertaining. And also the way that this – well, going back into how this was structured, it was radically different than the presidential debate the week before. With the presidential debate, you had the two podiums. You had Jim Lehrer, and Jim Lehrer is a PBS veteran. He is to be respected. The only problem is he just did not have control of that debate. He did not have any control. With Martha Raddatz, who is a ABC foreign news correspondent, senior foreign news correspondent, she's very well-versed, very informed on world affairs. You know, listen, she has interviewed world leaders. She's interviewed four-star generals. She's interviewed earthquake victims in Haiti. She's flown F-15 fighter jets in Afghanistan. I mean, this woman is no joke. So, and sometimes, you know, maybe it's a gender thing. We know how, not to be stereotypical, but we know how women can be. A strong woman, in this case, as Martha Raddatz, she was not having it. She was not allowing interruptions. She was really throwing out some really poignant questions, and she was holding you to the questioning. But on the other side, you had a veteran political animal in the body of Joe Biden. You could tell that he wanted to be there. He was very much aware. He was very much in the room. With Paul Ryan giving him his props, Paul Ryan takes instruction well. He is no Sarah Palin. Give him some more time and some more grooming. At some point, he will arrive. But I will say this much. when you have the split screen and you see Joe Biden on the left cackling, laughing, interrupting, telling him, just get out of the way. If you let us just move out of the way. And I'm shouting out Q-Storm, Q-Storm. Listen, if I had more time, Q, if I had more time, trust me, I would have had the instrumental for that ludicrous song. I think I actually have it around here somewhere. I would have had the quote-unquote move, bitch, get out of the way, pardon my French. That's the song. The song is called Move, Bitch. I would have definitely had that in the background even as I'm speaking to you, and it would have been apropos because that is exactly what Joe Biden gave to young Master Ryan. He was blatantly and bluntly outclassed. No doubt about it. But, you know, folks, if you remember last week, I spoke about Sir John Gurton, biologist who won the Nobel Prize. And he had a short story, an interesting story of his childhood. Of course, Sir Gurton is 78, but when he was a youth in 1949, this story is just compelling, and the story is so much about life, folks. It is so much about life. But in 1949, he talked about in Europe at that time especially, and around 15 and 16 is when a common student would have been introduced to science. He was introduced to science for the first time at about 1949. And the schoolmaster, his schoolmaster at that time, critiqued him saying, Gurton, young Master Gurton really isn't cut out for this science stuff. He professes to wanting to be a scientist someday. I don't think that's really in the cards for him. Mind you, years later, Gurton is responsible behind stem cell research and for cloning. We know, of course, Dolly the sheep. Now, the reason why I'm going back into that story is because even with President Barack Obama's performance, I'm not so sure if it was really all that lousy. I think I said this before, folks. I'm not so sure if it was all that lousy. Now, you had Jim Lehrer as the leader, and he allowed, to a certain degree, Governor Romney to do a Joe Biden on the president. He allowed that. So, you know, are we to assume that now coming into Tuesday, which is going to be around our haunting grounds, folks, this Tuesday, the second presidential debate is going to take place at Hofstra University, which is from the Honor Guard, Mr. Stark's alma mater. He's going to be – and also Bernie Madoff. Bernie Madoff was also a graduate of Hofstra University, incidentally. They're going to have the debate there at Hofstra University. But we were told the media just made it square and plain that, well, Obama's performance was just lousy. I'm not comfortable in that. I'm not comfortable because someone says something that is the case. You know, how much media involvement is responsible for the perception of the debates? How much? Because now, as I said earlier, folks, now they're saying that, well, technically Ryan won this debate. Really? Really? Most folks on the internet that I've spoken to anecdotally, maybe it's a partisan kind of thing. Maybe it's a partisan kind of thing. Many folks are saying that Mr. Biden gave Paul Ryan an ass whipping. And I'm inclined to agree. But the media are trying to paint this as some kind of even-keeled match. I don't think so, folks. I just don't think so. All right, listen. We got to go to a quick groove. I'm going to do what I have to do. Quick groove. And when we get back, I want to turn things around a little bit, go into a transition. I want to talk about this Florida Education Initiative. Florida Board of Ed has something that they're putting out there that is so anti-Afro nerd. Let me repeat that. So anti-Afro nerd, something to be concerned about. This is, folks, listen, I've been talking about this for many years, many months. The captain and I have been talking about this, that the black educational standard, the black cultural standard is under siege. And now they have an initiative in Florida that has different educational goals in accordance to race. You heard what I said. In Florida, different goals, different sanctioned expectations according to race. I've been talking about this for a long time, and it has come to fruition. Now, the problem is, what are you going to do about it to rectify this? Because this is madness that now they don't even expect black students to compete. They don't even expect you to compete. Something must be done. All right, going to a quick groove. This is F Deluxe, formerly The Family, Drummers and Healers. Drummers and Healers. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove.
Take a look, tell you what I see, come over now.
Okay, we're back once again after the radio, giving you the best of urban alternative music. That was F Deluxe, a.k.a. formerly The Family, Prince's outfit from years ago. They're back, reformed, and that was Drummers and Healers. Drummers and Healers giving you some good old groove. Give us a call if you'd like. We are broadcasting live. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, or again, 646-915-9620. Folks, I want to talk about this really frightening, horrible Florida educational initiative. I heard about this by listening to the Coco Mode show, actually. I was actually even a caller on that show a few weeks ago. Coco Mode, hosted by Shauna Renee. And she just so happened to cover this issue that I find very frightening, coming out of Florida, of a educational initiative that I believe was approved sometime last week. The Florida Department of Education, they have this plan that essentially a plan that is hell-bent on implementing certain requirements for their students according to race that are different according to race. This is what I mean. In reading, they have a 90% pass-fail rate or expectation rate for Asian students. So they expect a 90 percentile pass rate in reading for Asian students. For whites, it's 88%. For Hispanics, it's 81%. And at the bottom rung, Black folk at 74%. In math, they have expectations for 92% for Asians, 86% for whites, 80% for Hispanic, and 74% for Black students. What does this mean? What does this mean? What it means is that some folks have just given up. They've given up. And they're being very blunt and blatant about Black scholastic expectations. They're being blunt. We have seen in many cities, in many states, that the high school dropout rate is at 50%, sometimes even more than that, for Black and Brown students. We're just not competing scholastically, folks. We are just not competing. Now, of course, there are pockets of success, which is what we try to do on Afrinerd. We try to emphasize and report on the pockets of success. We know the Urban Academy, which is around our friend of the show, Sergio Mims' haunting grounds in Chicago. I believe they have had last year, maybe even the number one high school in the country. Black male, all Black male enrollment. So they're definitely going against type, folks. It's not like we can't compete on a cerebral level. It's not like we can't do it. But there's a word we always use. It's always meme. There's this dumbing down meme that many of us, if we're going to be tribal, have accepted. We've accepted this as the Black way. And the Black way is that we really don't care that much about education, about intellectualism. I mean, the country is suffering as a whole. Let's be also more clear about that. The country as a whole is all about anti-intellectualism. But it becomes on a micro level. On a macro level, we can talk about the mainstreaming of this paradigm. But on a micro level, it hits Black and Brown people very specifically. And now it has culminated with this plan out of Florida, the Department of Ed, where they have different expectations, different that they plan to enact. That is the plan by 2018. So instead of having – there should be a 90% expectation, 90-plus expectation sanctioned across the board, irrespective of race. But because there's this meme, there's this black meme, Asian kids are expected to be smarter. I should say Asian and white, but even whites can't compete with Asian. But you know, it's a very small percentage change between Asian and whites. For the reading, 90% for Asians, 88% for whites. When you talk about, when it gets down to the black and brown, it's about, you know, it's about a 20% difference. Something has to be done. Something has to be done. Where is the outrage? Where is the anger? Are we just going to see, folks? This is why I'm so the captain of myself. We're so passionate about AfroNerd that something AfroNerd as an infrastructure. We, trust me, we do plan to make AfroNerd, even with a site change and a whole lot of other things. There's a lot of things I foresee AfroNerd as a brand being. I don't think there's really anything, in my opinion, anything for black youth to hold on an infrastructural level that applauds and promotes black intelligence or black geekiness. Black kids, and this has been going on for many years now, but it's really at an apex now. Black kids in the present day are dissuaded. And you see this by this new initiative coming out of Florida. They are blatantly being dissuaded from being intelligent. Now, when I went to the New York Comic Con on Saturday, I saw all folks in full effect. I'm always talking about this, but even each year, the attendance grows exponentially. I believe it was anywhere from 30,000 to 40,000 in attendance when it first started in 2006. The New York branch, the New York Comic Con, in 2006, around 30,000 people, which was a lot then. This weekend, it was 100,000, 100,000 plus. That puts it on board on par with the San Diego Comic Convention. Now, why am I mentioning this? Because I saw a myriad of different groups getting their nerd freak on, dare I say. Asian folk were definitely there. Asian folk, Latin folk, black folk, women, gays, everybody was in attendance for them. But there really isn't anything that ties the black geek together, is there? Black kids, black young folk are dissuaded from pursuing intellectual pursuits. And it couldn't be any plainer than what we see with what's happening in Florida. AfroNerd as a brand, I've been saying this all the time. It's needed, folks. It really is needed. I don't see how people can be comfortable with this dumb thing. When I talk about the lower tier ghetto centric blogs, when I talk about Bossip and Media Takeout, there is literally an industry that dumbs you down that some black folks appear to be comfortable with. But don't you think that there should be a anti version of that? That don't you think there should be some place to go where black kids are comfortable in being smart, in being intellectual, in being creative? You know, let your funk flag flow. That's what happens when you go to Afropunk, when you go to the New York Comic Con. You do see black and brown folks letting their funk flag flow. But there should be something, a brand or something that makes them comfortable in doing this. Mr. Starks can talk about this more succinctly because he's in the educational system. He is an administrator in the Long Island educational system. And he has plenty of stories of how these kids are being conditioned to be anti-intellectual. When you think about how in Asian culture, and in Western culture, there's a place that is that has been created that promotes Euro and Asian intellectualism. Where is the black place to go to be comfortable for black young people, or just black people in general, to really be comfortable? I don't see a cohesive area where they're able to do these things. And I'm very uncomfortable with the idea that everything has to be about the minstrel radio shows. I mean, let's go down the line here, folks. Maybe I'm on repeat, but I have to keep on talking to you so you understand what I'm trying to do here, that is that it is important now. It is crucial because the expectations for you, for your children, are non-existent now. They're telling you bluntly, we don't expect much from you people. We don't expect much from you people. What I'm trying to do is make it where there is a literal haven where black youth are comfortable in being intelligent. I don't think there is one. They're comfortable. They've allowed a place for, quote-unquote, pardon my French, nigga nonsense, lower tierism, ghetto-centric precepts. They've allowed a place for that to thrive and to make money from it. Going down the list, your court shows depict a certain type of black person. Your talk shows depict this kind of black person. Your sporting events show this. Your music shows this. You're seeing an anti-intellectual viewpoint, an ignorant viewpoint that actually makes money, that has become an industry, a minstrel industry that without really too much judgment, I don't see enough black folks judging it and say, hey, listen, this does not represent black people. Or I should say, this is a segment. This is a segment. We know there's the honey boo-boos. We know that redneck culture has a quantifiable place. But there's other pockets, other infrastructural pockets for white folks to go to. When I went to the comic convention, those kids are able to go there and be comfortable with their nerdy selves. With the black thing, not so much. Black folks are being dissuaded from pursuing that, but they're being encouraged, actually, and rewarded for acting ignorant. Your hip-hop has literally become ignorance on wax, and you're cool with that. And you're cool with that. Something's wrong, folks. Listen, we have a caller. I want to take the call, and I want to do a transition. Let's open up the lines again. After the radio, tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 732. Hello? 732. All right. I see we probably have someone who just wants to hold on. All right, folks. I thought we had a call. But don't be scared. Some folks just want to listen in. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. I want to go to another musical break. And when we come back, I want to tie in Hollywood with Lil Wayne. I gotta mention this, folks. We're being attacked on so many different levels. I don't think you hear me, though. I don't think you hear me. We are under siege, folks. Black culture has been under siege for centuries, but it's maybe more clear to me or something now. It's being more in your face. Things are being done, and there's no blowback. Florida can have these initiatives with clear black expectations. And I think this is going to – I mean, when this is being written up on the internet, they're saying this is causing a firestorm. But I think black folks are going to roll on this one. I think they're going to roll over and just say, shrug their shoulders. whatever. I have a suspicion. I just feel something is something in the water, as Prince said, something in the water. All right. Give you some urban alternative, folks. This is Q-Tip and D'Angelo. I believe more groove, more discourse. We'll be back. Let's get into it.
I believe. Yeah, yeah.
I believe.
Once again, give you a little bit of neo-soul, Q-Tip, and the great D'Angelo is back on the mend, back in full effect, giving you some funk, touring with Jesse Johnson, of all people. Jesse Johnson. That is, I believe, Q-Tip, D'Angelo. We've got about 7 minutes remaining, folks. The call-in number, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. And I was mentioning earlier that Captain Kirk, my partner in White Collar Crime, is at the New York Comic Con even as we speak. He called in briefly during the first hour for the Comic Shop show with Daryl B. So, and just, you know, I was talking about before the break, folks, I was talking about the need for some kind of infrastructure to promote black intelligence, where black youth, black folk in general are comfortable being their smart selves. And the New York Comic Con allows for, I guess, everyone, really, everyone to be their smart selves and let their funk flag flow. But I also remember seeing that, you know, when you see this great mass of people, and you see on top they have the, you know, on the top of the event they have these glass partitions where, you know, these reporting booths, and they have Newsarama.com and comic book news, you know, all these media outfits with their own imprints reporting on nerd news. And I said to myself, you know, there really should be an Afro-Nerd glass booth there to report on things from the black perspective, Black Dynamite, the cartoon Black Dynamite, they were there. There's a whole bunch of black, you know, minority-oriented sci-fi fair that takes place. You know, whether it's the fans, whether it's the creators, whether it's the products that are there, but there's no cohesive unit for folks of color to go to the way that everybody else is able to go to their things. So I think I have an idea. It's a long time coming. I have to do what I have to do. But it goes larger than that. There needs to be a place to go. We can't keep on with the pants sagging and letting that be the norm. That's the norm, folks. That's the norm. Anyway, on to Lil Wayne. I'm pretty sure that folks have heard about this weird thing. Every couple of weeks, there's always something weird going on with Lil Wayne. And now there's footage, and I don't know what I'm looking at. I don't know what I'm looking at, folks. But there's a footage of Lil Wayne in some club on stage, and this reality star slash hip-hop producer. He's a well-renowned hip-hop producer. Some producer of note, Stevie J, who's a bit of a minstrel. Well, both of them minstrels, but he's a minstrel of a high breed. Well, you know what? Both of them are. Well, let me stop being cordial. Both of these guys are minstrels. Stevie J, I guess, has come to more infamy because of his reality show that takes place in Atlanta. Was it Hip Hop Wives? I don't know what it's called. Love and Hip Hop. Anyway, there's footage of Stevie J walking across the stage. It's a very poorly lit thing. Walking across the stage, I think, folks, he's planting a kiss on Lil Wayne's lips. I'm a conservative, but I voted for Obama, right? I'm somewhat socially liberal, let people live. But there's some dishonesty here. There's something weird going on here. Stevie J, the following day, he's, of course, he comes out and says, I don't know anything about this. Maybe it's not him. I don't know. I know that this lifestyle has been put out there against or to describe Lil Wayne in the past with his quote-unquote father, baby, who's only about maybe 7 years older than Lil Wayne, if that much. So they kiss also on the lips. Whatever, folks, whatever. But the reason why I mention this is because, believe it or not, yours truly was looking at The Ghost and Mrs. Muir on TV. For those who are in the know, it's an old-school 60s program. Hope Lang was the protagonist, as well as Edward Mulhare was also protagonist. He's also a Knight Rider later on. Anyway, what does Ghost and Mrs. Muir have to do with Lil Wayne? I'm always researching stuff. Hope Lang, the actress, was involved with a bisexual man, kind of as an affair. It seems that's a Hollywood tradition. It's highly weird. There's all kinds of arranged relationships. We don't know what's going on with John Travolta and his woman. We don't know what's going on. So maybe what's going on with Lil Wayne, because he keeps on having babies, all kinds of aberrant behavior. Now he may or may not be kissing men. Folks, I don't know what this is. Call me naive. I don't know what I'm looking at. But maybe this is the entertainment thing. Maybe it is what it is. I have a hard time just supporting all this. It's just a whole bunch of weird to me, folks. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's a whole bunch of weird. But I just think that we need to be looking more closely at who these performers are, the messages and the messaging that's going out that your kids are getting into. I've come across many young folk that when they hear these stories, they'll tell you, and they look at you like, well, maybe it's not that bad. Folks, it is. I don't think you know how far the rabbit hole goes with our young people in the excuse making of this lower tier cultural standard that also dovetails on the educational standard. All this stuff is wrapping itself up in the same casserole, folks. It's the same meal that I'm pleading with you. Listen to Afternoon Radio. Check us out on Twitter. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out at Afternoon.com. In the ensuing months, we're going to be larger. There's things that we're doing to really enlarge the brand. It has to be done. We have to combat the minstrelsy. But I'm seeing this on a daily basis, that we're seeing all types of behavior that can't be explained, that our youth seem to be just looking quizzically at. You know, when your dog looks at you, even when the dog looks at you and they twist their face to the side, they go, What? Even animals know when something is, what is that? Your young folk are making excuses for it. They don't even know what's going on. They're just kind of letting this play itself in the wash. I'm not comfortable with that. All right, folks, it's been real. The captain will be returning on Wednesday for the Midweek in Review. Always a pleasure. Going out on a high note, let's go out on Lyric Jones and Esperado Spalding, Lost on Repeat. Lost on Repeat. See you next week.
There's no melody that works in every life. We all miss a beat, but never lose tempo when the songs are coming. There's no melody that works in every key. We all miss a beat, but never lose tempo while the songs are coming.
11:30 in the AM, got slumpy bumping. Didn't eat nothing, so I threw together something. Popping my favorite Spike Lee joint. Do the right thing, cause lately was the case in point. Racism, check. Debt, minimum wage, check. In the hood, being misunderstood by just trying to do good. Trying to get in where I fit in,
whatever that means.
In this male-dominated rap scene, was just not happening. Of course not the way I wanted to go. Be undeniable or not, as rewriting my rhymes to groom the flow. Feel like I had the world on my shoulders. And hip-hop, man, it's like in dog years, I get older and bolder. But yet, still, I'm an infant. Repeating to myself,
I blow up in an instant.
But like a puzzle piece, I have a set place. So I move at my set pace, and it's hard with my game face. Yeah.
There's no melody that works in every life. That never comes.
We
but never lose tempo when the songs are coming. There's no melody that works in every key. We all need a beat.
Yeah, we do.
But never lose tempo while the songs are coming.
Friends and fam come and go more like a frequent bus. For reasons why I weigh it heavy when folks say
I love you.
Wish I can keep the good times on repeat.
Syndication.
Get a sneak peek of what I go through weekly in the station. I guess in life I'm trying to cheat. Know what the future holds. Protect my future goals. Go to God to get my future told. Now I know I can't compare most to me. They're like a melody that doesn't work in my key, certainly. Sometimes a sharp nine is not available. Like attention misplaced in the song. I'm comparable. Makes my whole situation a parable. Teach the world what goes wrong. Not always terrible. Lessons before dying on a daily. Seems like sex fraternities trying to haze me. But yet it doesn't faze me. Cause it's the northern streets that raise me. My defeat that saved me.
There's no melody that works in every life.
Yeah.
We all miss a beat.
Right.
But
true.
Never lose tempo when the songs are coming.
Yeah.
There's no melody that works in every key. We all miss a beat.
Sometimes we do.
But never lose tempo while the songs are coming. There's no melody that works in every key. We all miss a beat. We'll never lose tempo while the songs are coming.
We never lose it.
There's no melody that works in every key. There's no love in it.
Really? What was that?
We'll never lose tempo while the songs are coming.
Esperanza, Lyric Jones.